Well, thank you all very much for coming today. I know it wasn't for the preaching, but you battled the weather, and the Lord has a blessing wrapped up in all of this for us. So looking forward to sharing this morning. This past week, had the opportunity to experience a FaceTime with our children across the world, and it was a bittersweet conversation. I had texted with my youngest daughter earlier the day before, and she said, will tomorrow be a good time between this time and this time? And I said, yes, I'd love to be able to talk with you. And so the next morning, she called, and I answered it all excited and looked at the picture, and she was sick. She looked just poor and pathetic. She had the whole family for the last week and a half have been battling some illnesses, and Bethany got the worst of it, very serious strep, and so she was tearful. She apologized not being able to talk very long. She said, I'm feeling awful, and she said, the first thing I need, will you pray for me, Daddy? And I don't know about you, but when you're a daddy and your little kid says, pray for me, I'm going to pray. And couldn't climb through the phone and be with her, but we prayed. And I sensed God's peace just come over me, not being able to be there, the distress I was experiencing at the time, and peace come over her and comfort. And so it was a real blessing to be able to talk with her. Peace that comes from those kind of moments are why the Lord came. He came to provide for us peace. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. There's a significance in His coming and bringing that, and we're going to look at the gospel of Luke chapter 2, reading through verse 8 through 14, and then we're going to pray. Stand with me as we read this word this morning. Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we thank You for being in our midst. We thank You for the privilege it's been to praise You with our tongues and our hearts. And Father, to celebrate through giving, because You've been so faithful to give to us. And now, Father, to be able to sit at Your feet and hear Your word. Teach our hearts, Father, draw us close to You. Allow us to have an encounter with You that's fresh and that's powerful, that, Lord God, leaves us with a sense of awe and peace. We depend on You and Your Spirit and the truth of Your word in this hour, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I've had the privilege of being a guest in the homes of some of you who live outside our city. And one thing that Laura and I have noticed and appreciated is that when we're in those settings and it becomes nighttime, see how clear the skies are, how nice and quiet it is. Now, I've heard some cons about that. It's so quiet that when the dog starts barking and you can't see anything, it can get a little terrifying out there. But oh, how peaceful that it is in those times. It's not like being in town when the train comes through and the vibration shakes you. It's not like the 18-wheelers that come up and down 111 and make noise all night long, clanging their wares as they go up and down the highway. It's not like the emergency vehicles taking people back and forth to the hospitals. You're out there, it's just quiet. And I imagine that's something what it was like for those shepherds. Those many years ago, out in that field, they were outside the city of Bethlehem, out far enough away that all they could really hear was the bleating of the sheep that they were entrusted to watch over. The dark sky around them, pitch black, maybe the glow of the city somewhere off in the way. But the scripture tells us that immediately, suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, in our day of advanced technology, it would not be a surprise to us to be out in the middle of the dark and all of a sudden a light comes on. We think of a spotlight, we think of the law, we think of somebody pulled a switch. But in this day, it would be unusual. It would be completely different than anything they'd ever experienced for a bright light to suddenly appear for them, especially with the form standing before them that could be identified as an angel of God. What a shock it must have been. And it was. They were terribly frightened, the scripture says. The fear came over their heart. And that's why the angel would say, "Do not be afraid. Look, I've come to bring you good news, great joy. God has sent to you a Savior. He sent you a Savior for all of you." What a message. In the city of David, been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That was a message that those men needed to hear in that day. And it's a message that we need to hear in our day. Think about this. In spite of all the technological advancements, in spite of all our sophistication and our calloused approach to startling events in our day, listen, we got YouTube and all kind of crazy stuff, and we can see some frightening things before us, and we become very normalized to all of that. But even in spite of that, the Lord God has given a message that He sent a Savior to come. Think about that. A Savior's been born for you. Let that soak in a minute. A Savior's been born for you. I'd be the first in this place to admit I need a Savior. I needed a Savior on that day when I was 19 years old, when the Lord finally opened my eyes, or at least I finally recognized Him in my midst, opening my heart to recognize what a worthless, filthy sinner that I was in need of a Savior. And I can't imagine the last 35 years not having His assurance and the peace and the promises and the strength to be able to make day to day, because life hadn't been just a bowl of cherries ever since then. There have been some highs and lows. But the Lord has been faithful to be there all that time. I often wonder, what if I had been sensitive to Him within that first 19 years? How might it be different? But the good news is that He was faithful to His promise to provide a Savior for me in my need. And that's a message that all of us need to hear. We all need a Savior. There's not one of us in this place that's going to stand before the Lord God on our own merit and be able to say, "You have to let me in and get a good result from that." We all need a Savior. We need someone who can come and take our place in the way of our sin. Because listen, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that might be news for some sitting in this place. Perhaps this morning is that moment, like when I was 19, it finally clicks. Whoa, I need a Savior. I'm lost. I'm without hope. I can't stand before God on anything of my own and demand that I be brought into His presence. I have nothing to offer. Maybe this morning that's new for someone. Let me tell you, the Lord is good on His promise that He has come to provide a Savior for you. The Savior's been born for you. Their message goes on. And when we find it, He's been born for you, Christ, a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. You know, Jesus' name was Jesus. We always give Him Jesus, Christ, His middle name, Lord, His last. That's not how it is. His name was Jesus when Mary was found to be with child and Joseph was considering putting her away. In Matthew chapter 1, we find that an angel came and gave a message to Joseph and said, "This child which is in her has been conceived of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you need to give Him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins." The name Jesus means God saves. He was given the name that would be His mission, that He would come and be the Savior. Christ is his role. He's Messiah. He's the deliverer. He's the mediator that comes between us and the wicked one. In fact, us and God, in order to present a sacrifice for us. We needed a Christ. And Lord, well, that's his position. He's king. He's ruler. He's mighty. He's the boss. He's the master. And the scripture tells us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whether they bow down to him, submitted to him because he has saved their soul and they've recognized it and embraced him and followed after him, or whether they have rejected him all those years, they will still bow down under him as judge. He will be acknowledged and recognized as Jesus Christ the Lord by all one day. We're all in need. We all need this Savior, because there's none of us that escapes the need that's found here. I like that he's been born for you, for all the people. He's been born with the opportunity for every human being who's ever lived to experience forgiveness of sin and the hope and assurance of eternal life. But not everybody experiences that, because some have chosen to reject the gift. Some have chosen to not receive what he has extended to us in that offer of Christ Jesus. The Bible says the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Some are looking for eternal life through satisfaction and through pleasure and through riches and through fame and through intelligence. But the only place to find any eternal life is in Christ Jesus alone. He's the gift, and we must receive him in order to experience that repentance, that forgiveness of sin. The shepherds received this message from the angel that they said, here's a sign for you. You will go and you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. That's all they told him. It didn't say go down to Fifth Avenue and take a right and then go down to Bethlehem and take a right. No, go find him. And immediately they left their sheep. Immediately, the scripture says they went out and they sought for this one and they found him just as the angel had said, a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger. They testified of what they had heard from the angel. They celebrated and they went back with joy in their hearts to the task that God had given them out in those fields. They received a sign, and they responded to it. What sign has the Lord shown to us? What sign has the Lord shown to us today? We have this story that we read over and over every Christmas, and maybe a time or two in between the seasons. That's a sign for us. But we have an even fuller sign where this baby grew up to be the Messiah, the sacrificial lamb to pay the price of our sin, and then satisfying God in that sacrifice. He was raised back to life so that he might ascend into heaven and offer the opportunity of forgiveness of sin and eternal life to everyone who would bow down to him. That's a sign for us. We could think, what about our calendar? It's divided up in B.C. and A.D. Before Christ, Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. Even our very calendar that the whole world basically observes as the time frame is based upon, there was a historical real figure named Jesus who came and divided time. You need more evidence, more signs? Think about every hospital and charitable organization and educational institution that's out here. All of them got their beginnings because there were people who were believers, followers of Christ, who were prompted by the Spirit to be a help to others. It was because of what Christ has done in the life of people that we even have these kind of organizations today. And surely many of them have morphed away from that original value system, but they were started because of Christ. Another sign could be the evidence of changed lives in our midst. There can be no doubt that someone whose life has been on a tear and has been living for the world and has suddenly changed and transformed that they might live for the Lord, that's got to be evidence of a Savior, of a God who cares. They saw their sign, they followed, they experienced great joy. Have we followed the signs that he's shown to us so faithfully. But another sign that can be very significant included in this declaration of this angel and the host that joined him. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased. We've heard that passage in a lot of different variations. We've seen it on Christmas cards and heard it in songs, and we've even quoted that passage of Scripture in our own verbatim. But look at how it is stated here. It's not just peace on earth, goodwill to men. The literal translation, on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. That qualifies who receives the peace. That qualifies which of us will experience this peace that God desires to lavish upon his creation. It's for those who will please him. We're all at war with God. That's a theological reality. In Romans chapter 5, we find somewhat of an address on that. And I just want to read verses 1 through 11. Listen prayerfully as we consider what the apostle was moved by the Spirit to write. He before had been talking about the fact that we're all sinners. We're in need of a gift of salvation through Christ. And he talks about being justified, the Old Testament justification of Abraham, the father of faith. And he comes to chapter 5 and says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult. That word exult means rejoice. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, we also rejoice in our tribulations. That's not a phrase you hear all the time. We rejoice in our tribulations because tribulation brings perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God's been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him, Jesus. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, no longer as enemies, we shall be saved by his life. Not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received the reconciliation. And that reconciliation includes peace. No longer at enmity, that's the biblical word that's often given, at war. No longer at war with God. He has made a way for us to have peace with him. What a good God that he did not leave us in our condition of war with him. He knew we battle in our senses. We have the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. This is in every man. It must be warded off, and we can't do it in our own energy. We don't have the strength to be able to overcome those things. Only Christ in his blood was able to overcome that on our behalf. And when he enters into a life, he enables us to be able to overcome these temptations and these movements that happen inside of us that are moving us to sin. Because there's a different kind of war going on with us now. It's not a war with God and his righteousness. It's a war against the evil one. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord desires for us to know that kind of peace. But as was said by the angels, peace on earth among men with whom he is pleased. We have to please God. And really there's only one way to please God. Hebrews 11:6, the writer says it's impossible to please God without faith. We must trust him. We must come to the place where we fall upon him in total dependence, surrender that he would be the one that rules our lives. That's why Paul would write, when we confess him as Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. We must come to that place where we surrender ourselves to him and allow him to take over our life. That's faith. It's the only work you and I can do is to believe in the Lord. That's the one work Jesus said when the people came and said, what work shall we do to win the favor of God? He said, there's only one work you can do. Believe. Believe this gospel. Believe this truth. And to believe is to exercise faith. It's to exercise trust in God and what He's done through His Son, Jesus Christ, through the death and resurrection of the Lord. And by that trust, we please God, and the result of that is peace. It is peace. The Apostle Paul reminds us that peace with God is a wonderful gift, and it has to be maintained in this life, and we must depend upon Him in order to be able to maintain that. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, this will be familiar to most of you, but listen to this remedy to maintain peace by the Apostle Paul. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will overcome you when you pray. He's writing to believers. He's encouraging them. Communicate with the Father, and as you entrust all things to His care, all supplication and requests, with thanksgiving in your heart, He will guard your hearts and your minds with peace that passes all other understanding. He will provide you with this peace of God. But He goes on. He says, finally, brethren, whatever's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Meditate on them. Think on them. Study them. The things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Listen to them. Study them. Meditate on them. Practice them. And listen what He says. And the God of peace shall be with you. Not only the peace of God when you pray, but the God of peace will promise to come and be upon you when you listen to and practice the truths that He has given you. How? In Scripture. Through Bible study. Devotion time. Quiet time. However you want to put it. Your time in the Word of God. Your time in the Word of God is how you're going to be able to fix your mind on those things that are good. Listen, every day is a battle as to where our minds are going to be traveling. From the moment you get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and go to the shower and move through your day of putting on the clothes, you're thinking, what are you thinking on? Are you thinking on things that are healthy and good and positive and holy? Or are you thinking on things that could be a train wreck for you down the road? What are we concentrating our minds on? When we set our minds on the good things, we'll find that the God of peace will assist us. There's an Old Testament passage, and it's been said a lot of different ways. Isaiah 26:3. He will give perfect peace to the one who sets his mind on the Lord. And there are a lot of different ways that that's been said. But he who focuses upon Christ Jesus, upon the Lord God, will find themselves resting in peace because the God of peace will provide that peace. So we've got two resources right here in this passage that are explicit. They're definite, and that is prayer and setting your mind on holy things, the Scripture. But there's a third thing that's implicit, another thing that's not really specifically said but is implied, and that is that the God of peace will be with you. And how is the God of peace in any of our hearts except by the Holy Spirit that Jesus has sent to come and dwell in the lives of those who are converted? And that Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, brings with it some fruit: love, joy, peace. He has supplied and resourced all of this for us. Access to Him by prayer through Him. The Holy Spirit, if we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps to utter those things before the Father on our behalf. The Holy Spirit Himself, in Romans chapter 8 again, bears witness with our spirits that we're the children of God. He brings assurance and understanding of things that we wouldn't otherwise understand. The Holy Spirit's our assistant. He's the one to help to bring a settling in our spirits when the world all around us and circumstances are falling down and they're causing trouble and we're finding ourselves on the near brink of breaking down. His peace can overcome that. He has supplied it for you. Pray to the God in heaven. Trust the truth of the Scripture. Rely on the present Holy Spirit. You'll find peace. When that baby was born and the angels said, "Peace on earth to men with whom he's well pleased," he was speaking about his future believers who would yield to him and experience incredible peace in spite of what's going on in the world around them. What a gift. What a promise that the Lord has given to those who will seek after him and follow after him and trust him in everything, that we would find this peace. That baby born in a manger, it goes way beyond celebrating his birthday. It goes beyond seeing what he did in this earth. It looks forward to a time when there will be true peace, when we'll be removed from this crazy world with all its temptation and sin and trouble, and we'll finally be in the presence of the Lord forever in that beautiful peace, kind of like being out in some of your country homes at night. But even better. And it only comes through Jesus. Little baby was the Savior. We often sing at Christmas time, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and as I understand it, we'll be doing that in just a few moments. But listen to these words written by a pastor named Phillips Brooks. Lived in the 1800s, 1835 to almost the end of 1800s. And he was a pastor. He wasn't really a poet, but he did write some things. He was able to attend a trip to the Holy Land. And on one of those days, they took him out to the field where supposedly the shepherds were when they saw the angel and that bright light that night announcing that a baby was born in the city of Bethlehem. And he said it was a fenced-in area, and there was a cave inside the fenced-in area where the shepherds supposedly hid out while the sheep were out in the open area. And he said he just gazed in wonder upon that scene. And that was like in 1835. 3 years later, he sits down. He's prompted before a Christmas service to write something about Christmas. And he recalls that trip to the Holy Land and that setting in that field and the instruction that was given by the guide. And he wrote this little hymn. "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep the watch of wondering love. O morning stars together, morning stars of the angels, O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given." Do you know that Jesus was born in obscurity, out in a stable? There was no fanfare, he wasn't in a palace, there wasn't a great announcement, he was just out in the middle of nowhere. And he was born silently. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. What a beautiful picture of an invitation of a God who desires for us to know his presence and his peace. And then the last stanza we have here. "O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel, our Lord God with us." Peace is written all inside this little Christmas carol. The Lord moved in the heart of a pastor to pen this hymn that we just flippantly sing, we're so familiar with. The words provide peace, a setting of peace, a message of peace. A God of peace who has brought the peace of God that we might know it in spite of all that goes on around us. As we come to invitation time, I don't really know that there's any reason for me to try and specify where you might make a decision. Perhaps in your own experience, you might consider, what things have I allowed to come into my mind that keep me from settling in on the truth of the Lord? Am I really praying on a daily basis the way I ought to? Am I relying on the Holy Spirit of God in order to experience this peace that the Lord has promised and given to us? Where am I in my walk with Him? Perhaps there's somebody sitting here, and this morning, for the first time, this message has clicked and you feel strongly in your heart, I need to do something. The Lord is moving me to trust Him. We would love to celebrate with you if you would come and let us know Christ has moved in your heart, that He's been born in you today so that you might have His peace. Let's take time to worship through our response. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, as we set ourselves in this position before Your holiness, having heard the truth of Your word, Father, and being prompted by Your Holy Spirit, we ask that we would be found faithful in responding to You tonight, today. Lord God, thank You for the gift of peace. Forgive us when we have not been faithful in how we ought to receive it or maintain it in our lives, when You've resourced us in so many ways. Help us, Father, to make that commitment today, that promise to You, to be walking in a manner worthy of the gospel to which You've called us. Thank You for the remembrance of the first coming of our Christ. Thank You, Father, also for Your next coming that will be glorious. And bring us to You where we're removed from having to worry about exercising peace. We thank You for Your faithfulness, and we pray these things in Your holy name. Amen.